This morning I want to preach on the subject, six unusual cities. Six unusual cities. And Wednesday night I sort of advertised what I was going to speak about, and we just took some time and we listed some unusual cities that the various people had been in. Somebody mentioned Rio de Janeiro was an unusual city to them. Somebody mentioned Mexico City. Somebody mentioned St. Louis. I think another person mentioned New York. And somebody mentioned Flint. And these are all unusual cities in one way or another. I've been in some unusual cities. Tokyo, Japan was an unusual city. I mean, every place you put your foot down, the area that your foot covered, they say, cost $10,000. Very unusual. Everything's real crowded. Seoul, Korea. I got to go to Seoul, Korea. That's unusual to me because everything smells like garlic. I mean, you get off the airplane, first thing you smell is garlic. You get into a car, you smell garlic. Unusual. Stockholm, Sweden was unusual. A city of all islands. Sydney, Australia, where the toilets run backwards. And you know, over here they swirl this way, or over in Sydney they swirl this way. That was very unusual to me. And if we had the time, isn't this deep preaching? I mean, just get into it. How many of you were here last Sunday night? You should have said amen to that, brother. All right. Now, if we had the time this morning, we could go and mention some more unusual ones. But I want us to look at the six unusual cities that Walt read to us a moment ago about from Joshua chapter 20. These are the most unusual cities you've ever seen in your whole life. Not unusual because of the kind of city they were, not unusual because where they were, but they were unusual because of the kind of people that lived in these cities. You see, the only people that could live in these cities were killers. Killers. In order to move into this city, you had to kill somebody. And the only people that could live there were those that have killed, murdered, took somebody's life. And so this morning I want to talk to you about those six unusual cities. Father, thank you again for letting us be in your house. Thank you for all that we've experienced so far in the singing and in the special. And I pray now that as we look into your word, you'd help me, you'd hide me behind the cross. Help me to say the words that Jesus would say if he were here this morning. And Father, I pray that as we've sung and as I preached, that men and women, boys and girls would see him. They'd see the kind of Savior that Brother Wendell sang about. We're all sinners and we all need a Savior. And what a perfect and wonderful one he was. And I pray for those that are here this morning that might not know him in a personal way. I pray this morning they meet him. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. I want to use as my text verse this morning, verse 6 that Walt read a moment ago. And he shall dwell in that city until he stand before the congregation for judgment, and until the death of the high priest that shall be in those days. Then shall the slayer return and come unto his own city and unto his own home, unto the city from whence he fled. All right, thank you, Brother Larry. This is the kind of glass I meant there, Robert, but that's okay. All right. Six unusual cities, and they were called cities of refuge. And what I want to do this morning, I want to do two things. First of all, I want to illustrate for you how the cities of refuge worked, how they worked. And then I want to use them to paint a picture of salvation. All right? Now, I need some help this morning, and I've asked some people to help me. And so I'd like our ushers to come, Brother Larry and Brother Dave. And then I'd like Brother Walt to come. And Brother Walt, if you would, you take a seat right over there on that chair. And then Bev, I need you to come. If you would, take a seat right down here in front. All right? And you two guys come right up here and just sort of stand right over here. All right? Now, I want to explain to you how the cities of refuge work. Now, let's just suppose that our two ushers here got into a little scuffle this morning. And it's just a friendly little scuffle. I mean, just a friendly little tip. Let's suppose that they both decided that they wanted to take the offering down this aisle. Okay? They both wanted to come down this aisle. Dave says, now this is Larry's usual aisle. I mean, Larry usually gets this aisle. Dave usually gets this aisle. Let's say, for sake of illustration, one morning Dave says, Larry, I want this aisle. Larry says, you can't have that aisle. That's my aisle. I take the offering in that aisle. Dave says, I want it. I want that aisle doesn't have your name on it. I want this aisle to take the offering this morning. So it's a friendly little discussion. Just a friendly little tiff, spat. But right in the middle of it, Dave, in making a point, reaches back, hits Larry in the head, and Larry falls down dead. Fall. Oh, no, wait a minute. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's not fair. I mean, this is a Baptist church. We've got to do this the Baptist way. We've got to vote and decide who's going to die. Now, we got to do it right. In this illustration, we can either have Dave kill Larry, or we can have Larry kill Dave. All right? So we'll do it in the Baptist tradition. How many are for Larry killing Dave? All right? How many are for Dave killing Larry? All right, Larry's ready to go to heaven, so... And we're not sure about Dave, but...
he's got a bigger note
there. All right, so at this point, Dave, in the heat of this friendly discussion, just a friendly little spat, arguing about what aisle they're going to take the offering in, Dave makes a mistake, punches Larry. Larry falls down dead. So you fall down dead. All right, now, what happens? You might want to lay on your back so you can see what's going on. You're going to be there for a while. Okay, now... Immediately, Bev, who is Larry's wife, who don't know her, she stands up. She says, Hey, this guy killed my husband. Let me at him. I want to get him. The Bible says, an eye for an eye. No, you cooperate. No, stand up. She says, I want to get him. He killed my husband. The Bible says, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, a husband for a husband. Let me at him. All right, you can sit down. So, Here's Bev. She's ready to kill him. I mean, Dave didn't do this on purpose. He didn't plan it. He didn't premeditate it. Just sort of happened in the heat of the argument. But he kills Larry. Bev stands. Let me at him. He killed my husband. I want to get him. Larry Jr., who's an expert in the martial arts, he says, he killed my dad. He killed my dad. Let me at him. I want to get him. But God says, now, wait a minute. Dave, you didn't mean to kill Larry, did you?
No.
It was an accident. It was an accident. He didn't plan it. He didn't premeditate it. It was just a friendly little argument that got out of hand. God says, I want a place that Dave can go so that Bev can't get to him. I want a place that Dave can go that Larry Jr. can't get to him. I want a place that Dave can go that none of the Maxwells can get to him and kill it. So God says, Brother Dave, you killed him accidentally, right? You didn't plan it. You didn't premeditate it. So what you can do is you can go to one of these six cities, these cities of refuge, these cities of safety. There's six of them. You can take your pick, and in all of those cities, regardless of which one you go to, you can find safety from Bev or Larry or any of the other Maxwells that want to get back at him for killing Brother Larry. Now, by the way, all of these six cities were on high places. They were high. And by the way, regardless of where you were in the land of Palestine, you could get to one of these six cities in a half a day. Regardless of where you were, God picked them out and he located them. So wherever you were in the land, you could get there in a half a day. One of them was called Kadesh, which means set apart. One of them was called Shechem, which means to be ready. One of them was called Hebron, which means to unite. One of them was called Bezer, which means to protect with walls. One of them was called Ramoth, which means place made on high. And one was called Golan, which means joy. So Dave goes to one of those cities. We'll say that the top row up there, that's a high place. All right, just go up there and sit down in that top seat. He's gone to one of the cities of refuge. And none of the Maxwells can get him. Now, how long can he stay there? How long can he stay in that high place, in that city of refuge? Huh? Until the high priest dies. Now, Walt, doesn't he look like a high priest? I mean, just look at him. He just looks like a high priest. Now, the way God set it up is that Dave can stay in that city as long as Walt lives. Okay, you can sit down. Sit down right there. Now, when Walt kicks the bucket, Dave's got to come out of the city. He's got to go back to his home, back to his home city. If Bev is still alive, and if she, when Walt dies, if Bev's still alive, and she still remembers her dead husband, and she still wants to get back at him, she can get him. If Larry Jr.'s still alive, and he still wants to get back at him, he can get him. Because the way God set it up is when the high priest dies, he has to come out of the city, and they can get him. All right? So that's how the city of refuge worked. Now, let me use that to paint a picture of how salvation works. And the picture that God painted with the cities of refuge about what was coming in the New Testament about salvation. All right? Somebody tell me now, who were the cities of refuge built for? Say it out loud. Killers! People just like him! Killers! That's who these cities were built for! Now, let's see. Dave, come back down here to the scene of the crime for a minute. All right. Now, after Dave kills Larry, and after he realizes that Bev is after him, that Larry Jr. is after him, what's he looking for? That's right. He's looking for peace, isn't he? He's looking for some place that he can go to get a night's rest. I mean, if all the time you traveled, you had to look behind you to see if Larry Jr. was after you, ready to get you. Or if you had to lay awake at night wondering where Bev is tonight. Wonder if she's going to get me tonight. I mean, he couldn't get any sleep. He couldn't get any peace. He couldn't be happy about anything. I mean, all the time he'd be wondering, boy, I wonder, maybe Lisa's after me today, or maybe Renee, or maybe Sarah. I mean, you know, maybe I killed their grandpa, I killed their dad. Maybe he's going to get me. And all the time he's in a state of constant turmoil, worrying, wondering what's going to happen in the future. Am I going to die today? Who's going to get me? Now, my dear friend, you listen to me. Listen to me. The people that got drunk last night in downtown Flint or in downtown Detroit, they were looking for exactly the same thing that Dave was looking for. The people that took drugs last night and tried to get high, they were looking for the same peace, the same joy, the same sleep at night that Brother Dave was looking for. The people that got into all sorts of wickedness last night, they were looking for the same thing, my dear friend, that Dave looks for when he kills Larry and realizes that Bev and Larry after him are going to kill him if they catch him. He's looking for a place of safety. He's looking for some satisfaction. He's looking for some peace. He's looking for something that will satisfy that part that every single one of us have that say, I want to be right with my God. I want to have fellowship with my God. And you don't find that in a bottle. You don't find that in a pill. You don't find that in sin. You find that in a person. And you know what? We that have found that person have found what they're looking for. We found the peace. We found the joy. We found a way to get a decent sleep at night. Look, the Bible says that Dave represents the killer. But the Bible says that we're all killers. In James 2:10, the Bible says, you keep the whole law. Every one of the commandments, the whole law, but you just break one, you're guilty of all of it. God says, you have a bad attitude, you're just as guilty in my sight as the murderer. God says, you speed, you go faster than the speed limit, you've broken the law you're a perfect model citizen. You keep all the laws. You live by the Bible. But when you get in the car, the pedal goes to the metal, and you break the speed limit. God says, in His sight, you're just as guilty as a murderer. You've broken the law at one point. You cheat on your income tax? We were talking about that this morning in Sunday school. All the Pharisees were saying, cheat on your income tax? No, no. God says, you're just as guilty as a murderer in my... We're all killers. We're all killers for another reason. We're all killers because it was our sin that put the Savior on the cross. When Jesus stood before Pilate and he was on... you can say amen laying down, Larry. That's good. Some of these other guys can't even say it's setting up. When Jesus stood before Pilate and he was falsely accused and tried, he stood not for any sin that he committed, but for sins that you and I committed. We're killers. when he was in the with the soldiers, and they beat him, and they slapped him, and they plucked his beard out of his face. He stood before them not before any sin that he committed, but for our sin. When that old Roman soldier took that whip with 9 lashes on the end of it, and 39 times, as was the custom, lashed Jesus. Each one of those lashes had a piece of metal or rock on the end of it. And that whip dug into his back, and as the soldier pulled it out, it ripped pieces of flesh from his back. He did that, not for any sin that he committed, but for the sins that you and I committed. When they laid him on the cross, and they put the nails through his hands and through his feet, and he hung separated from earth and separated from his Father, the first time in all eternity that God the Father had to turn his back on his only Son. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was not for any of his sin. It was for our sin. And so we're all killers this morning. And God has a promise for us. He says, I've got a place for you to go. You don't have to worry about somebody coming to get you. You don't have to worry. I got a place of refuge that you can go. So my dear friend, if you're here this morning and looking for peace, we found it. It's in Jesus. If you're here this morning and looking for joy, we found it. It's in Jesus. If you're here this morning and you're looking for something that satisfies that part of you that longs to fellowship with God, we found it. It's Jesus. Thank God, praise God, that He made a place, a city of refuge, that people like they, killers, could go to. But praise God, He made a way for us to come, that we can find that same peace and that same joy. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We have a place and a way that we can go, and that way is Jesus. Okay, Dave, go back to your city of refuge. So, first thing I want you to note about this city of refuge, it was a city for sinners. A city for sinners. Second thing I want you to note about it, it was a city for safety. For safety. The only way that Brother Dave can be safe is to go to that city. That's the only way. Okay, Dave, I need you to come back to the scene of the crime for a minute here. Let's say Dave has just committed the awful act. Isn't this terrible? I mean, arguing over who gets this aisle. I mean, this is just terrible. Awful. But let's say I come in right after the fight. Blood is still gushing out of Brother Larry. I was going to bring some ketchup, but I decided to leave the special effects off. Blood is gushing out of Brother Larry. Dave is still there. Nobody else comes in. I come in. I said, oh no, this is terrible. I said, Dave, did you kill him?
Yeah.
Did you mean to?
No.
It was an accident?
Sure.
And I say, Dave, I believe you, it was an accident, but I've got to tell you something. I know Bev. I know what she's going to do. She loved this guy. I don't understand why, but she loved him. And when she finds out what you've done, she is going to get you. Dave, you better go to the city of refuge that God set up. I mean, he built those cities just for you. You better go to that city, or she's going to get you, or Larry Jr.'s going to get you. And let's say, just for the sake of illustration, Dave says, no, wait a minute. I'll join the church. I'll join the church. I'll get my name on the church roll. Is it going to make any difference to you if Dave joins the church? You still want to kill him? Dave says, well, how about if I'll take communion? I mean, I'll get one of these little glasses and fill it, you know, when the preacher has the Lord's Supper, I'll take communion. Is that going to make any difference? You still want to kill him? Dave says, I'll tell you what, I will promise that I'll never, ever kill anyone again. Is that going to make any difference? Still want to kill him? Hey, you only got one of two choices. You can go to the city of safety, or you can stay and face the wrath of Bev. Quiet. I tell you, I can't get any cooperation from these guys. You stay out of my preaching. You're dead anyway. All right, so Dave has all these other ideas. Baptize, Lord's Supper, join the church, turn over a new leaf. It's not going to make any difference. Dave's only got one of two choices. He either goes to the city of safety or he faces the wrath of the pursuer. Somebody wants to get him. Okay, you go back to the city. I don't want nobody getting you. Go back to the city. Now, this morning, my friend, you only have one of two choices. You either come to Jesus or you go to hell. You say, Brother Darrell, I don't like that preaching. Hey, I'm not making it up. It comes out of this book. You only got one of two choices this morning. You either come to Jesus or you go to hell. You say, oh, now wait a minute. I'll join the church. I'll come forward. I'll get my name on the church roll. Fine. There'll be another church member in hell. You say, oh, well, I'll get in the baptistry. I'll get baptized. Fine. There'll be another tadpole in hell. You say, hey, I'll turn over a new leaf. I'll quit sinning. I'll start living right. Fine! There'll be another reformer in hell! You only got one of two choices, my friend, this morning. One of two choices. You either come to Jesus or you go to hell! That's the choices you have. Now, Dave, come back for a minute. I want you to stretch your imagination with me this morning. Okay? Stretch your imagination. Let's say that I like Brother Dave. Stretch your imagination. Let's say that I love him. Let's say that we're even related. I don't know how we could be related, but let's say we're related. He's either my dad or my brother or my uncle or my grandpa, something like that. How insistent am I going to be that he go to the city? Huh? I mean, if I really care for him, if I really love him, how insistent that I be, am I going to be that he go to the city? Am I going to say, now look, Dave, I don't want to put any undue pressure on you. I mean, I don't want to really bug you, but I think you better go to the city. I mean, there she is. She's coming. But she's coming.
You ever eat your food?
Just stay out of it. You can be quiet. But I'm not going to worry about putting pressure on him. Am I going to say, now Dave, I don't want to scare you. I don't want to scare you, but I saw Bev and she bought a gun, and she was headed out to Mount Rose. I don't want to scare you. Am I going to do it like that, or am I going to say, now, Dave, I'm only going to tell you this once. I'm not going to keep coming back. I'm not going to bug you about it, but you better get to that city. Look, if I really love him, I don't care if I put pressure on him or not. I mean, if I got to keep coming back and putting pressure on him and putting pressure on him, putting pressure on him so that he'll get to the city, I'm going to do it. I love him. I want him to have safety. I want him to get there. I'm not going to worry about scaring him. I'm not going to worry about saying, Dave, look, she's got a gun. She's coming. You better get going. I'm going to do it. I mean, I'm not going to worry if I talk to him 20 times about it. Dave, get to the city. Get to the city. Get to the city. He says, get away, I don't want to hear it. I'm going to keep coming back if I care for him. And I'm saying, Dave, you don't understand. She's coming. She's got a gun. She's going to get you. Get to the city. And if I have to, I'll take him and say, come on, Dave, I'll go with you. You got to get to the city. There's safety up here. Now, my dear friend, if you've got somebody that you love, do you worry about putting pressure on them, getting them to Jesus? Oh, I don't want to put pressure on them. Do you worry about scaring them? Oh, I don't want to talk to them about hell. That might scare them. Look, if that's what it takes to get them to Jesus, you scare the pants off of them. You tell them about hell. You tell them about the devil. You got to get them to Jesus. That's the only place you're going to be safe. You say, I don't want to bug them. I don't want to keep coming back. You want them to go to hell? There's only two choices. You keep going back. If you love them, you keep telling them about there's only one way to get saved. There's only one place to find safety. And that's by coming to Jesus. You only have one of two choices. It was a city of safety. And then number three, it was a city of security. Of security. How long can Dave stay up there? Till the high priest dies. You know what he's going to do? You know what he's going to do? He's going to get on the phone from over here in the City of Refuge. He's going to call Chris. Chris, go over there and see what kind of diet Walt's on. I understand he's been eating a lot of ice cream and candy bars and red meat. Tell him he needs to be a vegetarian. Get him to eat right so he'll live longer. He's going to get Chris on the phone. Say, Chris, go down and buy Walt some vitamins. I mean A through Z, B, D, all of them. Get them all and take them over and make sure he takes them. He wants him to live as long as he can. He's going to get on the phone. Say, Chris, I hear that Joanne is taking Walt for hot air balloons. Tell her no, 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 no. In fact, while I got you, tell him not to ride in the car with Joanne. No, 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 no. He wants him to live just as long as he can. And he's going to do everything in his power to make sure the high priest lives. Let me tell you about our high priest. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Listen to this. Man, if this don't make you say amen, there's nothing in the whole world that will. Seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for us. When I come the way that God tells me to come by Jesus, and I get into the city of refuge, the city of safety, how long can I stay there? I can stay there till the high priest dies. Who's my high priest? Jesus. When's he going to die? Never, never, never. You talk about security. You talk about peace. Hey, I can get it. I can stay in that city of safety until my high... And my high priest's a lot better than the one Dave's got. This one's going to die pretty soon. Even if he lives to 100, it's going to be pretty soon for him. But my high priest is never, ever going to die. That means once I get into the city, I don't ever have to leave. That means once I get into the city, I'm secure forever. I heard somebody say this week, the only way the devil can get you lost again is he's got to go find your sins. And if you've been saved, you come to Jesus, he's taken your sins and cast them as far away from him as the east is from the west. And so that guy's going to have to go east and east and east until east meets west to find your sins. He's going to have to go down to the very deepest part of the ocean, because that's where the Bible said God cast him. He's going to have to Jesus got you in his hand, and God the Father's got his hands over Jesus. And in order to get you lost, he's got to pry the hand of God off, and then he's got to pry open the hand of Jesus. And my dear friend, the devil can't do that. Once you get into the city of refuge, you can stay forever because your high priest lives forever. Oh, one more time, Dave. Now let me ask you a question. You understand how the cities of refuge work. A little friendly argument. Gets out of hand. Dave becomes a killer. Bev says, I'm going to get him. She gets her gun. She comes after him. And he knows that if he stays outside the city of safety, eventually one of the Maxwells is going to catch up and kill him. Now let me ask you a question. Is it reasonable for Dave to go to the city of safety? Is it reasonable? Then, my dear friend, why don't you come to Jesus? Why don't you come to him? He's the only place that you're going to find safety. The only place you're going to find what you're looking for is if you come to him. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've painted so clear pictures for us in the Bible. So many things paint a picture of what you've done for us in Christ. And I pray this morning as we've looked at this one, Father, that somebody here that doesn't know Christ will see it for the first time. They'll see how much God in heaven loved them and what he did when he purchased salvation for them.